Okay, good morning. We're on Daf Kuf Yutet, but we're coming to the final Daf. It's the end of here. I started the last two lines. So we had a question whether, when we said Baitul and Midbariot, the question was whether we were saying it Lekul Lechumra. So we've got a bright here. The Tan Rabbi Yudah Omer, Lochin Baitot Mehen, Ben Lochin Mehen Midbariot. Talking about the shepherds, right? So you can take the Baitot, those that are grown domestically, and not the ones in the desert. Whether you, whatever you're taking, whether it's baitot or midbariot, you can take if you're buying four or five, because we said it's noticeable, right? That's four or five. So now the Gemara answers the question like this. And if it's on the sefer, so then it ulakula shma mina. Okay? So why don't you quickly go back and look at the Mishnah? So it's not on that bright over there. Okay, whatever the answer is, it is on the, it's lakula. It's always nice to end off on the kula. All right, let's go. Below Meshomre Perot. Okay, back into the Mishnah. Okay, so the Mishnah said that from below Meshomre Perot etzim uperot, people who are looking after fruit and trees, you can't buy from them, from Lo Mishomer Perot, Eitzim Veperot. You can't buy the trees or the fruits from them. Okay? So that's the Mishnah's question. Rav Zavin. So see, Rav. So now we've got a story here about Rav. There's a Mishnah Rashas here, we changed it to Rava. The reason why he changed it to Rava, he says to the Mishnah Rashas that Rava is Bar Plukta with Abaya. Okay? So it makes more sense that this Sugya is between Rava and not Rav. Okay? So Rav Zavin. Shabishta me'arisa. We've seen this word shabishta plenty of times. Rashi tells us again, chavile zmurot, like bundles of vines, of, right? Me'arisa from his aris, an aris from the sharecropper, right? So the assumption here of the Gemara is that an aris is like a shomer peirot or shomer etzim, right? So therefore you can't buy from him. So amale abaya. You see, that's why the Mishnah Rashas changes Rav to Rava, okay? Because it makes more sense that abaya would argue with Rava than he would argue with Rav, right? Amale abaya. So how can you buy these murot from this aris? So he says to him, Rabbi, he says, no problem. We're speaking there when the Mishnah says you can't buy, speaking about buying from somebody who's got no interest, no stake in the land. Right, about aris. But an aris, even though he might not own the land, right? But he's got a partnership, he's a shutaf in what goes on. So therefore, it says if he was selling his own stuff, even though he hasn't got a partnership there. Tana Rabbanan, Shomrei Perot, we've got a brighter. Say like this, Shomrei Perot, Lochin Mehen, Keshen Yoshvin Umuchrin, Vasalin Lifnehem. So these Shomrei Perot, the Mishnah said you can't buy from. The brighter saying, when can you buy from these Shomrei Perot, right? When they are sitting there and they're selling, and the baskets are open in front of them, but Turtani Lifnehem, Turtani, look at Rashi there, Turtani, Moznaim Gdolim, like these big scales. Okay, they're busy weighing out the scales. V'chulan Sha'amru, right? And now the same story, but we've seen this all along, the whole time, right? This sort of a disclaimer, that whenever anybody says to you, Hatmen, it's Asur. So even them, who are sitting there with the scales out in the baskets, if they say to you, listen, hide it, keep it to the side, you can't buy from them. Okay, velokhin velokhin, and there's a the Rashi says the velokhin, okay, and velokhin, and you take from, you can buy from them, right? Mi petach hagina, if they at the door to the garden, right, at the entrance, in other words, to the garden. Aval lo me'achorei hagina, but not at the back. In other words, again, the idea is that it's more open. Right, the Gemara says, Itmar, now Itmar here is benichuta, it's not a kashya. It's just an example. We're saying, I'm a mama. Itmar gazlan, the aloch is like this, when can you buy from a gazlan? Right, because you can't really buy from a gazlan, right, because it's stolen goods. Rav amar, ad shetehe rov mishelo. I don't know why I wrote benichuta to myself. Actually, it's a machloket, Yamurayim. Strange. I wrote to myself in Yichutu when I was learning it. But it's actually Machloket Amoraim. Here we are. Straight for Machloket Amoraim. Itmar, like the normal way, Itmar normally introduces the Machloket Amoraim. Right? Achete Rov Mishelo. When can you buy from a gazlan? When most of the stuff that he has is his. In other words, he's only got a few stolen goods. But most of the stuff that he's got is his, right? Look at Rashi there, Rov. Mamono mishelo belog zayla. Hochinachar harov ve'enenin mimeno. So since the majority of the stuff is not stolen, so therefore we go with it. Shmuel amar afilu miut shelo. Shmuel says no. Even if most of the stuff is stolen, it's his. Look at Rashi there. Miut mishelo. Talinan v'amrinan hay midi de'yayv lei mididehu. We have what's called, there's a halocha, there's a concept in halocha, right through halocha, which is called tole. Right? You have it in everything. You have it in basar v'chalav. If you find, for example, if there are two pots in front of you, and the one's got, I don't know, kosher meat, and the one's got treif meat, a bad example maybe. There's a piece of meat on the outside. You assume that it came out of the one that's kosher meat.
That's
something else. That's rov. This is tole. So that's a question of tole, and that's a question of koveya kamechtzal mechtzal. That's a different color altogether. Right? Tole is when you've got a reasonable ability to rely on. We've got two options, and the one is good for you, the one is bad for you. You can tole on the one that's good for you. Okay, like in a mikvah, for example, if one is kosher, one is treif, and it was, and neither of them are a good example. Neither of them have got 40 say of water in them, and you know that somebody poured 3 log into the one and made it possible. You can assume that it went into the one. Sorry, bad example, even worse example. There are two mikvahs. One's a pasul mikvah and one's a kosher mikvah. And someone throws 3 lug of mayim shuvin into the one. You can assume that he threw it into the one that was pasul anyhow. Right? That's the idea of tole. So here, same thing. You tole, since he's got stolen goods and he's got non-stolen goods, we can assume that you bought from him the non-stolen goods. That's called tole. Because you've got, you can tole on either. You can rely on either one. So we assume that the one, that's what right, you maniach, but you assuming is maniach is a problem. You can't just assume because he's also got stolen goods and not stolen goods. We can assume that it was the stolen goods. But if he never had non-stolen goods, you couldn't say maybe he also had stolen goods. We know that he's got stolen goods and non-stolen goods. Therefore, we can rely on the fact that what he sold us was the non-stolen goods. Okay, I think we've spent enough time on that. And I've given enough bad examples. Okay. Okay. On this point, Rabbi Yehuda Paskin Aloch, he said like this. La'ada Daila. Look, Rashi tells us who Ada was a person's name. And Daila Shamash Rabbanan. Okay? He was a Shamash Rabbanan. Not necessarily his, although I saw looking this morning, I looked through Michael's Gemoria, and he explained that it was his Shamas. I don't know how he got that, but anyhow. Shamas Daila. Kedivre ha'omer afilu miut shelo. He paskened like Shmuel. Okay, which makes sense because we know that Shmuel is Dina Mamonon. Right? Paskened like Shmuel. Mamon Masur. Now we go back onto this question. We've been discussing all along this whole concept of Masur, right? People handing things over to the Goyim. So now Mamon Masur, Rav Huna. Machlokin Rav Huna and Rav Huna. Chadamar mutar le'abdo b'yad. B'charamar asul le'abdo miyad. The one, look, we're getting very extreme here now, right? The one, Tana Amora says, if you've got this mammon of the masur, you can physically go and destroy it. And one says, don't do it b'yad. But now the one that says, don't do it b'yad, doesn't say you can't do it, right? You can't destroy it. Just you can't destroy it by hands, in other words, directly. But maybe you can destroy it indirectly, okay? Manda mutal abdo b'yad. So the one who said you can physically go directly and destroy it with your own hands, in other words, directly destroy it, what's his reason for it? Lo ye mamono chamur megufo. Because you can destroy his body. A moser who's moser mamon to goyim, you can basically wipe him out, right? You can take him out. We saw the story of Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana, remember the story of Rav Kahana? Rav Kahana killed the guy. Because he said, I will point out, Mashvei v'mashvei, remember? And he said, Parket Savra, he killed him. Mm-hmm. So you can see, so the guy, you can kill him. So if you can kill him, the Sfari is, if you can kill him, then surely you can damage his goods, right? His goods aren't worth more than his body, right? Uman damar asul abdo, right? And the one who said, you can't, what's his Sfara? Dil mahavale zaramalia. Maybe you'll have holy children and let them benefit from it. Let them be your esh, right? If you take it away now, then it's gone. Now we're going to get into a whole list of psukim here, which I'm going to admit from the outset is not my strong point, and we're not going to spend the whole day understanding all these psukim. We're going to go through them very quickly and just get the gist of it. But the Gemara now takes a whole lot of psukim, starts as follows, right? And on the basis of that over here, right? What's the pasuk for Zarim Aliyah? We've got a pasuk over here If you look at Mishul HaShas, if you look there, then Hayom Mishul HaShas, it says, Bekra, later Teivad Rashi, we'll see this pasuk here that the Gemara brings. If you look at the actual pasuk, the pasuk is Yachin v'tzadik yilbash v'chesef nati yachalok. If you look in the Gemara, it says Yachin rasha v'tzadik yilbash. So the Mishul HaShas says that word rasha isn't in the pasuk. Okay, look, he says there on the Hayom Mishul HaShas. Mm-hmm. It says, Bekra later Teivad Rashi, Rak HaShas mefaresh lekra hachi. Even in Psachim, also well. The Gemara puts in that word Rasha to explain the Pasuk, right? Because it says, V'yachin Rasha v'tzadik yilbash. Okay, Yachin Rasha, in other words, the Rasha does all the preparation, he gets it, and then who wears it? The Tzadik. Mm-hmm. So he has the Svara for the Gazlan, takes it, and his children who are Tzadikim, they will be able to benefit from it. Okay, Rav Chisda Havelehahu Arisa. So now Rav Chisda had this sharecropper. To have a takil v'yahiv takil v'shakil. So you know there used to be that advert. I don't know if you, I'm trying to think if it was in South Africa or in Israel, but where the person handing out biscuits, sharing out biscuits, and he would say, there'd be five people sitting around, and you'd go, one for you and one for me, one for you and one for me. Well, that's how they equally share it out, right? But if he gets what? So this is a similar idea here, what's going on with Rav Chisda Havelehahu Arisa. Have a takil v'yahiv. He would very carefully measure out and take for himself, right, and then give to Rav Chisda, and then takil v'shakil, and then take it out for himself. Now, he was very particular here about it. Now, I saw a whole lot of explanations on what was going on here. The one explanation was that a sharecropper normally is only entitled to a third, and he was splitting it half-half. Another explanation here is, I read that actually this morning in Michael's in the English Standards, that he was being very particular, weighing the stuff on a scale. And when you're a partner and you're sharing stuff, if you're so meticulous and particular to the extent you're weighing it on a scale, you're going to cause problems. That's not the sort of partner that you want. Okay, so it depends how you explain it, right? So, and what was the outcome of the story? Salkei, Rav Chisda got rid of him. He said, thank you, mate. Take your scale and vamoose, right? So now, and on that, and the Gemara says, v'kra nafshe, and Rav Chisda read this pasuk, right? What was the pasuk that he read, yeah? Just look at Rashi quickly, kra nafshe. Rav Chisda tzadik, he was a tzadik, v'haris chote, okay? V'nitzpan chelo l'Rav Chisda desalko v'natal chelko. And therefore Rav Chisda decided, you know what, I'll do the work myself, and I will get the benefits of what this haris used to have get. And this is the pasuk. The pasuk over here says, pasuk Mishlei, Tov yanchil b'nei vanim, okay, v'tzafun latzadik chel chote. And what's hidden basically is to the tzadik is the portion of the chote. So he says that the chote is the aris. Rashi says aris chote. Yeah. So that's why I said either he was a chote because he was taking half when he should only have taken a third in kum shlish. But according to the Standards Gemara, it's a little bit different. Okay. Okay. Now the Gemara is like this. Kima, another pasuk here. The next pasuk here we're going to see is from Iyov. Kima tikvat chanef ki yivtza ki yeshel eloa nafsho. Okay, look at the Kutei Rashi there for a second, if that's you got it. Kima tikvat chanef. He says, ki lama ehye rasha v'gazlan. The guy says to himself, lama ehye rasha v'gazlan. Why should I be a rasha and a gazlan? Masof olshe rasha hagozel mamon. What's the end of a rasha? Basically, the gazlan will steal his money. Okay, it doesn't pay to steal, and they'll steal from you. And look at the end of that Rashi as well, where he says over there, "Ki yeshel eloha nafsho, ki yashlich hamakom et nafsho me'alav." God will eventually take your life away. Okay, me'alav lashon shel nalecha v'nashel habarzel. Okay, basically, in the end, you will lose. That's the bottom line of this pasuk. Rav Huna Rav Chisda Chada ma nafsho dinigza. When this pasuk says that Hashem, right, will take away your soul. Right, because the pasuk says, "Ki yeshel eloha nafsho." God will eventually take away his soul. Whose soul? Is it the soul of the gazlan or the soul of the nigzal? The guy who does the stealing or the guy who's stolen from? Right, that's the machloket of, yeah. So chalama nafsho the nigzal, right, and chalama nafsho shel gazlan. So man dabar nafsho shel nigzal. The one who said that's actually the guy who was stolen. He will lose his soul. Dichtiv, right? Because the next pasuk that we learn there from Mishlei says, "Ki orchot kol botzeya batza." Anyone who does these bad things, et nefesh ba'alav yikach. He will take away the nefesh of the ba'alav. Who's the ba'alav? The ba'alav is the guy you stole from, the nigza. Right? The one who says nefesh shel gazlan, where does he get it from? He says, dichtiv, the next pasuk there is also from Mishlei. It says, al tigzal dal, don't steal from a poor guy, ki dal hu, because he's va'al tidakeh ani bashar. Okay, so he says, al tigzol dal, you're stealing the dal. Basically, you're stealing his laugh, so to speak, right? The poor guy's laugh. Look at Rashi there. Right? These guys are the poor people that are waiting for elektrich ba'ah. Don't steal from them. In other words, basically, you're taking away their lives. Right? And the pasuk carries on and says, Ki Hashem yariv rivam. Right? That next pasuk comes from also from Mishlei. These are all Mishlei, by the way. One pasuk almost after the other. The first pasuk was Yotet 19, then pasuk 22, now pasuk 23, in the same chapter of 22. And the next pasuk says, v'kava et kovehem nafesh. And he will establish, right, v'kavat kovehem, right, he will establish then the nefesh. V'idach nami, right, so now the Gemara's got all these pukim. Now the Gemara now goes and says as follows. If we've explained why it's gozel nafsho or nigzal, where it's the gozel or the nigzal, now we've got a proper classic Gemara chakira. Each one's got to explain the other pasuk, right? Okay. V'idach nami, another one, hakativ nefesh ba'alav yikach. So how does he refer? The guy who says it's the nigzal, right? That says the gazlan. How does he deal with it? It says nefesh ba'alav, that it's the ba'ali. My ba'alav, he says, no, ba'alav the hashta. He's the new owner, right? So it's the ba'ali, the original guy who had it. The pasuk now says, now he's the one who's got it. He's the owner because he started. That's why he's called ba'alim. V'idach nami, now the guy who said that it was the soul of the ba'alim, hakativ kavad kovem nefesh. Right, so it's the nefesh of the nigzal. Matam the kavad kovehem mishum the kaveh nefesh. Okay, so he says because basically he's the guy that is got the life. Now Rabbi Yochanan, kol gozel chaveiro shavaputa. Anybody who steals from his friend something that's worth it, he shavaputa. Kiri no tell nishbato imenu. See if he took his stuff. So we can see Rabbi Yochanan seems to be going with the guy who says that it's the nigzal, right? That you stole the life of the guy you stole from, right? Shenemar. Because we've got a pasuk over there, we've seen this pasuk before, it's from Mishlei, right? Kain orchot kol botzeya batza et nefesh ba'alav yikach, right? He explains it that way. He takes the soul of the guy who owned it, right? Betzeh ba'alav yikach. V'omer, the next pasuk says, you'll see the Gemara's going to bring all these psukim and then ask why do we need so many psukim to prove it? So the first pasuk is ki orchot kol botzeya batza, v'omer, and the next pasuk says, right, that next pasuk avia comes from Yirmiyahu. It says, "V'achal ketzirucha v'lachmecha." You ate your produce and your bread. Yochlu banecha v'techet shulman eat it. Yochal tzoncha. Your animals will eat it. Yochal gafnecha and you eat whatever given to tenatcha. You're a shesh arem yitzarecha asher ata boteach b'hena b'charif. Okay, so it says, "V'achal ketzirucha v'lachmecha banecha v'techet v'omer." And the next pasuk says, "V'omer." And another pasuk we've got here, which says, "Mitzrayim l'shemama tiye ve'edom l'midbar shemama." It'll be l'shemama. Tiyeh mechamas b'nei Yehuda asher shafchu dam naki ba'artzam. So they'll be neshamama b'nei Yehuda because they shafchu dam naki ba'artzam. So the Gemara says, mechamas b'nei Yehuda asher shafchu dam naki ba'artzam. We'll see in a second. Ve'omer, and the next pasuk says, right? Vayi rab yimei David shalosh shanim shana acharei shana. For 3 years it was famine. Ve'akesh David et p'nei Hashem, and David turned to Hashem. Vayom Hashem et Shaul, he said to Shaul, ve'obey et adamim, al asher hemit et agibonim. This is all coming about because of you killing the Gibonim, right? El Shaul ve'obey tadamim asher himit Gibonim. So the word says, "By v'omer." Why do we have to have this v'omer? V'chitayma nefesh today, aval nefesh panav unotav lo, right? In other words, is it only his nefesh, the God, the nigzal, and not his children? So he says, "Toshma basar banav ubenotav," as well. That's why he brought that first pasuk who says there that it will be. Where was it? V'achal ketzirucha lachmecha. They took away your stuff. Yochlu banech uvnotech. That also be devoured, right? V'chitayma hani mili hechet lo yag. Maybe it's only where you don't pay the money. Maybe when you only stole the money, you get that punishment. But hechet yag to my law. Right? But we said like a chamsan who steals but pays you back anyhow. Maybe in a case like that, he wouldn't get all these punishments. The Gemara says, no. Toshma mechamas b'nei Yehuda. It's from the chamas. And chamas, even when they paid back the money. Only where you physically went out and killed, right? Or you did the damage with your own hands, but you caused it to happen, no. And he says, no, even then you'll be punished. Why? Toshma El Shaul Beit Adamim Al Asher Mita Ragivonim. Shaul got punished, right, because of killing the Givonim. Where do we see that Shaul himself actually killed the Givonim? Elamitoch Sharag Nov Irakohanim Shayu Maspikin Lahen Mayu Mazon Malea Lavakatuv Kilu Argan. So we see here even a grammar where Shaul caused the Givonim to be killed because of this. So therefore, the grat took away their parnasa, and therefore they died. So we see here that even with Gazlan, even if it isn't direct, all these stories that you do, even if it's about roundabout, indirectly. The punishment will come. Competitor. Free market. Capitalism. Okay. Okay, we care with the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that you can buy from the Nashim, right? Kli tzemer b'yuda or kli pishtan b'galil, right? There's certain things you could buy from women. Let me find a place here, sorry. Lokhim in Nashim, right? Tarabanan, Lokhim in Nashim, Kitzim be Yudah, Kipsam Galil, Avalo ye not Ushmanim Vesaltot. Okay? So I've got a brighter that says you can buy Min Nashim, Kletim be Yudah, Kipsam Galil, Avalo ye not Vishmanim. Right? Now, if you look at the Mishnah, go to the actual Mishnah itself a second. Where's the Mishnah? Where's the Mishnah? Hey? Kuf Yud? That could be at the bottom. But we haven't got there yet. We're still here. Where's the actual Mishnah? Looking for the Mishnah. Kuf Yud Chet Amud Bet. Okay, so what is it right on about over here? So he adds in here, but not yeinot ushmanim v'saltot, right? Hold on, I'm trying to find the Rashi. Yeah, Begaril Leon, the Rashi, all right? Veshmanim Besaltot. Look at Rashi there. It's on the Tosfot side of the Daf. Right? There's no Tosfot here anymore. Tosfot is finished by Bekama. They took a day early. Right? They got paid leave. That's Rashi. Veshmanim Besaltot. Shederech Ha'ish Lemochran, because that's what men sell. Right, ve'eino said ishto shaliach lechach, and therefore people wouldn't send their wife to sell these sorts of things. V'shem egnav tomi ba'ala, maybe she stole it from her husband, and that's why you got to worry about. Okay, ve'lo min ha'avadim ve'lo min ha'tinokot, neither from the slaves or children. Now the reason why you got to understand, women and slaves and children aren't the same, but women never owned anything. Whatever woman had was her husband's. We've seen that locha. Even what she earns goes to her husband.
Assuming she was married.
We talk about a woman here who's married. Speaking about married women.
Does it say that?
I mean, Anashim are married.
Because they'd rather be married than not married.
Right. Tav, Tandu, Milamei, Tav, Armelu. Exactly. We've seen that plenty of times, right? That they'd rather be right. Tav, Tandu, Milamei, Tav, Armelu. Exactly. So, slaves and women and children, yes. They've got nothing. So if they sell things, they obviously stole it. No, so David says, but how do we know that they're married? Maybe they aren't married. So we said, Tav Tandu, we know that women are always married. They prefer to be married, right? So she can sell big quantities. Remember, dinar is a lot of money. That she can sell big quantities. Kedei la'asot kippah. This is probably the only place in the Gemara where the word kippah is mentioned. It's not about our kippot that men wear. It's a kippah that a woman wears, right? Right? Dina kedei la'asot kippah la'rasha. Which Rashi says, yeah, we have Ruach HaKodesh already helping us. Rashi says, tsa'if ve'ein aba makpid. Right? That it is a tsa'if. That's a scarf, like a head, some sort of scarf or head cover, whatever it is. Right, thank you. V'chulan shamru lahat min asher. Again, the same story. If any of these people, even if they're selling stuff that they're allowed to sell or in big quantities, right? If they tell you that they're going to hide it, then be careful then done. Okay. Gabay tzedakah. This is interesting. Look at this. A gabay tzedakah lokhin mein davar muad. He is speaking not about buying. He is about literally. Lokhin ya means to take. Okay. Lokhin mein from a woman and davar muad, little amounts. Mm-hmm. Right. Avalo davar merube. And the same thing. You don't take like $100 million or $1 million from a woman.
I'm a
gabay lokhin mehen davar muat. She can take small amounts. No. He can take a 5 shekel coin from a lady, no, but 1,000 shekels, he's got to start all wondering where she got the money from, right? Muat. Aval lo davar merube. Vahabadadin lokhin mehen zaitim b'mida v'shemen b'mida. Aval lo zaitim b'muat v'shemen b'muat. Yeah, the other way around. But in the Baladin are the oil presses, right? Where they bring their oil to be pressed, the olives to be pressed, right? So he can take a payment from them in big quantities, but not in small quantities. Because if it's small, it's the same as the ship. Because small quantities, it's obvious that they're not going to steal from their husbands big quantities, and therefore it's worth their consent. Little quantities, you've got to be careful that they might be slipping him a bit on the side. Okay, Rashbag Omer, Rashbag says, Lokhim minashim zaitim, right? B'moed b'galil ha'elyon. So he says there are times when you can take it in the Galil ha'elyon. Why? She'pa'amim adam bushlim kor al-petach beito. Right? Because there are times when a guy is embarrassed to set up a table outside his house and start selling all these things, right? And he gives it to his wife and says, go sell it for me quietly, that people don't see that we stressed whatever the case. Ravina Ikla Bay Mechoz, Ravina, right? Ravina, who was a Gabay Tzedakah, Rashi says, right? He was a Gabay Tzedakah on this point. Ikla Bay Mechoz came to Mechoz, Atu Nashe de Bay Mechoz. And the woman of Bay Mechoz came to him, Ramu Kamei, right? So look what he says, Yakavle Vashiri. So he'd look at Rashi there, what's that over there? He took from them this Kavle Vashiri. Right, Sharsherot Zahav and Smidin, gold chains and bracelets, took from them expensive jewelry. The Kabil Binayin, they brought it to Manik and he took it. Amar Rabba, Rabbi Tosfa, not our Rabbi, Rabbi Tosfa, another Rabbi says, Ravina, Vahatanya Gabai Stakam, Kadimen, Dabar Muat, Dabar Murube, you can take little things, not big things. How can you take such expensive jewelry? So he says, Amar Lehani, Lebnei Mechoza, Dabar Muatinu, they were rich people in Mechoza, and therefore the woman of Mechoza who handed a few gold chains. Is like the same as Dabar Muat. Okay. Last Mishnah of Masechet Baba Kama. And I'm going to, don't want to let you down, so there's a lot of excitement in this Mishnah. I haven't got a clue, by the way, why this is the last Mishnah. I tried to find anything written about it, I found nothing. It's, to be honest with you, I don't want to sound like an apikoros, the last of Baba Kama, but it's the most, if you could have thought of any Mishnah in the world to end Baba Kama off with, it wouldn't have been this one, okay? We're going to become experts now in all the... Well, we're not going to become experts. But the Gemara assumes that we're going to be experts in all the accessories that are used in the weaving process and the planing process for wood, carpenters, sewers, weavers, dyers, all the artisans that we've spoken about up until now, basically, right? We're going to see now the tools that they use and the byproduct, the offcuts of their goods, whether they are entitled to keep it for themselves, if it's because they stole from the owner, if the guy bought a piece of fabric and they did things with it, and they took off pieces, is it stolen, is it not stolen, is it not theirs, not theirs. Just one little introduction just to help understand, because it helped me understand. There's a picture of here actually, in fact. There's a picture of here. When you would bring the fabrics, right, to the koves, which is in our understanding is a dry cleaner, but it's not really a dry cleaner, it's more than a dry cleaner. They bring their fabrics to be cleaned out and thoroughly beaten out, etc. They'd strap them up on a frame and beat them. They'd actually sew loops onto the fabrics that the loops could then be put over the nails to stretch out the fabrics. They wouldn't make holes in the fabrics themselves. If they stretched the fabric too much, then they'd straighten the fabric afterwards and they could cut it off and those off cuts could be theirs. Therefore, they weren't allowed to stretch it too much, because stretching it too much means that there'd be too big off cuts, and therefore they end up taking more of the fabric than the fabric were brought to them. When a tailor would sew something, finish making a piece of clothing, he'd leave a few threads at the end. Or, can you have those threads? Can't you have those threads? All different things like that. There's different types of planes. know, what's the word I saw there in your Gemara? An AIDS or something?
Yeah.
What's an AIDS? I don't know. Like, you know the planes when you're playing wood, right? The Shayef and AIDS, right? So they're big ones and small ones. They're little axes, big choppers, big hammers, big little hammers. We're going to become, in the next 20 minutes, experts. Lulaot. Right, Lulaot. Okay, so now the Mishnah says as follows.
But originally the three
Masechtot were one Masechet. Right, so you're saying that was just part of Amatzi already, or Iva Voilan. Right, okay. Maybe, Mark says maybe this is part of originally Baba Kam, Bamatzi, and Baba Batra, all one big Masechta.
Yeah.
Maybe, so this wasn't really the end of Baba Kama.
Uh-huh.
So just the middle, or the third, the end of the third. Okay, although I don't know, there are 10 chapters in Baba Kama. I don't know, 10 seems to be more than an arbitrary number to me. I don't know, but maybe. I don't know. But you're right, I don't know. Mochin sha'koves motzi ara elu shelo. So yeah, look at the Kutei Rashi, you've got it. Mochin. Kol davar rach karui moch. So we know a moch, from like women use a moch, right? When they to check for their menstruation, etc. Anything soft, woolen, spongy, cotton wool, anything that's called a moch. Okay, so mochin she'akoves motzi ara elu shelo. So when the guy brings you these garments to clean, so all the woolen stuff that comes off it, or if you find wool in the pockets, or if you had to straighten something out and there was soft stuff there, anything like that is his. V'hasorek. Now the sorek is also another type of function which we don't really understand today. A sorek, how do they call it there? They got a name for
carder.
A carder. I never heard the word in my life. I just saw it this morning as well. A sorek, right? A teaser. So again, a sorek is someone who would like beat out the fabric, right? He'd beat it out, right? And soften it. After it got washed, the wool, the leather, or the fabric would be very hard, and his job would be to soften it and get the, you know, you have shtiva erev, right? So the weaving is done in like hops and wombs, whatever it's called. Warps and hooves, I don't know what the English word is. Right? A waff and a womb, whatever. Shtiva erev. So you'd get the, you won't have the lines running properly, and see, his job is to sort the fabric out after it's been washed, right? Sorek motzi. And whatever comes off this material in the process, haresh elu shel balabait. Because obviously here much more comes out, right? With a koves, it's just a little bit of stuff come out, mochin. But here a lot of these fabric, if the wool comes off the leather, whatever the case is, so you can't go overboard and take it for yourself. Whatever you get off goes to the balabait. Koves notel shlosha chutin vehem shelo. So now again, at the end of a garment, there'd be like these three little chutim to mark the end. The koves could cut them off and keep them for himself, right? If there's more than three chutim there, he's got to leave the rest for the balabait. He can't take the chutim. You have to also put your mindset into a paradigm of where things are very valuable, right? And therefore, every little bit of thread or fabric or other kind you could lay your hands on is valuable. Not like today, we don't really care. Today, you have a thread, you put it out, you throw it in the bin. Right, the concept here in the Gemara is you have a thread, you quickly keep it, so you can use it somewhere else in your job. Okay, so all these little things got a lot of value. We see the Gemara guys had one piece of clothing they'd wear the whole week, and maybe a new piece of clothing for Shabbos, you know, or a belt for Shabbos. But so when you've got in our today, where you've got cupboards that you haven't got enough space to keep your clothes, it's difficult to understand. You know, the Gemara's understanding is because we've got one bag. Okay. So, Vasurak Motsi Arelu Shabalabait. Koves notel shlachutin, Vietimi Kerer Shabalaka. Imaya Shachor, Al Gabalabait. If you brought this Koves, a beged, that it was sewn in with black threads, notel la Koven Shlo, then you can take them all, because the assumption is that they're spoiling the beged anyhow that's black on white. Right? Therefore, the Balabait doesn't want it. It's ruining his beged. Therefore, you can take it, right? Hachayat, and the tailor, Sheshiyer Tachut Kedadit Forbo. Tailors would leave a bit of cloth or a bit of thread at the end of the beged for you if you want to, like maybe hem it or do something with it. Right? If today you have a spare button, you know, like in your shirt, that sort of idea. Right? Umatlichi gibel agibel, or like a little piece of fabric that's three finger breadths, right? Like 3x3, that size basically, like 5 centimeters by 5 square centimeters. Hare elu shel balabait. You can't take that for the balabait. And then Masha harash motziv ma'atzad, the carpenter. Right? Whatever he takes off of this ma'atzad. Now Rashi says, yeah, ma'atzad is a dilder. Look at the Kutra Loaz Rashi, he says a dilder here, right, is a ma'atzad, min garzen katan, like a little axe. like a little hammer, like a little hammer that you'd use. So if the carpenter would smash off, like there'd be, let's say, nails sticking out or whatever the case is, he'd come along, either chop them off or smash them into the wood or whatever the case is. But yeah, if he could actually save them, he could keep them. With a chashil, shabalabait. If you use the chashil, Rush is a kardom. Right, umapil shvein gassin, a bigger hammer, right? That's already, he can do more damage, he can take off more things. Whatever he could get off with a heavier hammer, right, that he's got to give to the Baal HaBayit. The little things he can save off with the small hammer, if they're weak, he can do for himself. The big stuff goes by. Ima yao se etza Baal HaBayit, right? And if he was doing the work at the Baal HaBayit's house, right, like Rashi says, yes, sechir yom, he had been basically brought in to work for him at his house. Okay. Gemara. Tana Rabbana, lochin mochin mina koves vipnei shein shelo. A koves notel, ratzo, mochin mina koves. Lochin mochin mina koves, mina koves, mina koves. This exact opposite. Our Mishnah said that the mochin are the kovesses, right? Here it says, lochin mochin mina koves. Sorry, you can buy from the koves mochin because they are his. Right, I thought it was a studio there. Right, because they're his. And our koves, notel shnei chutin yonim, ben shalon. And our Mishnah, we said that he could take three chutin. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, we said two chutin. Velo yatil bo yoter mishlosha. Velo yatil bo yoter mishlosha chubin. Right, and we'll see over here that he can't make, right, more than three stitches when he's sewing. Oh, remember I said he sews on these like loops. So that he can tie up the stuff. When he sews on the loops, he can't sew the loops with more than three stitches, right? Because if he sews with more than three stitches, it's very strong, and then he'll be able to stretch it much more. And then we've got the problem of it stretching, he's going to cut it off to straighten it out, he's going to end up getting much more for himself. So if he does it with the loops with only three stitches, the loops aren't very strong, and therefore he can't stretch this fabric too much because the loops will then fall off. So he's got to stretch it just enough that the loop stay. That's why I can't three stitches. V'lo yishrok ha-beged l'shityo v'lo le'erbo. Right? And when he... look at Rashi over there. V'lo yishrok ha-beged. Right? So this is this sorek. We're talking here about this sorek, right? This teaser or whatever you call him. Right? What did you call him?
Carter.
Right? So when he does this beating, basically, he can't do it in both directions. Right? Umashvehu le'orko, and when he straightens it, right, when he straightens it out, he can do it le'orech, but not le'rochav, not to the width, right? Ve'im balashvoto, now to the le'orko, lo le'rochvo, right? He can do it le'orech, not le'rochav, because the rochav, when you're wearing something, the beged, you see the sides of the rochav more because it's long. So not le'rochav, because if you do it le'rochav, you're gonna cut it, you're gonna make it too small. So if it's the orech and you're cutting it off, it's not the end of the world. Right? And if he's coming out to straighten this whole thing out and make it nice and straight, ad tefach rashai. You can maximum, you can do this as a tefach. He can't come more than a tefach. Amar mar. So now we've got this brightest. Amar mar. Shnei chutin ba'adantan shlish. We don't now mish the three. You say now two. So say, look, hashi haba, limi habati, no problem. That's if he's using big, heavy stitches. Or just fine little stitches. Okay, velo yishrok ha-beged l'shtiyo velo le'erbo, v'atani ibchen, am mishtem learned opposite. Right? Lo kashi ha-beglima ha-besar ba'i. No problem. The one is speaking about a glima, which is a jacket, a coat, which is like all around. Another one is a sarbala. Sarbala seems to be like asui lichvod l'noyu kishu sorek. It seems like a poncho sort of thing, like something you'd wear over, like a cloak. You know, as opposed to an actual piece of garment. V'lo yatil bo yoter mishlosha chubin. We said you can't sew it more than three chubin. So now, by Rabbi Yirmiyah, amtuye v'atuye chad. So now the question, when we said three stitchings, what's the question? By Rabbi Yirmiyah, amtuye v'atuye chad. In other words, you know when you sew, you like put the needle through the one hand and then you bring it back in the other direction. You understand? To get like a complete circle. Is each direction considered one stitch? Or is one... like that a stitch? Okay, that's a question. Dear mom, tuye va tuye tray. Maybe it's two. Teiku. Okay?
Is it by your
kids? Teiku, right? Okay. Umashver lo orko lochbo va tanya ibchev lo tovay lo kashi abeglima habe hem yoni. Sorry. I think the sarbala, Rashi says the sarbala suri chvod v'lo nui. The himnui is this, is no. A himnui is a belt, right? Am I right? What's a himnui? Is a belt, right? Look, one is a beged, one's a himnui. Why can you do it l'rochav for the beged, but for the belt you do it l'orech? Because with a belt, you know, with a belt, when you wear it around your belt, the length of the belt you already see. It's actually the rochav that you see, right? As opposed to a beged, which is the orich, right? So the way around. So Tara Banan, ain't lochim min asorek mochin ribnei she'ena shelo. You can't take from the sorek mochin because they're shelo, right? Ain't lochim min asorek mochin me she'ena shelo u'makom she'enu gviot shelo lochin. And but it depends on the custom. U'bechol makom lochin mehen kar malei mochin v'kaset malei al mochin. However, you can't take mattresses or pillows, a pillow, a keset, and I wrote here big pillows, but I saw this morning in Michael's where they translated the keset as a mattress. Okay, probably like a big cushion. Mele'a mochin, right? You can take it. Why can you take it? Because he was kone b'shinui. Even he was a gazdan, right? The fact that he made it into mochin means that he, into mattresses and cushions, he was kone b'shinui, and therefore you can take him. So my timer, kananu, right? Because he bought it.
B'shinui.
Right, b'shinui. Right, tarabana. Ain lochin migardi velo from a weaver, right? From a migardi, you can't buy from a weaver. Lo irin velo nirin velo funkelin, right? Now these are all different pieces of instruments in the weaver, right? You got this warp, you got this whole process of weaving, so they're all different like parts of the instrument, right? Irin and nirin. You want to actually irin now? Says that you put like a little piece of cotton wool into this one piece to hold it from slipping out, okay? And that's the irin. And the nirin, says Rashi, is lichaich. You look at Likutei Rashi here. He says perush nirin, right? Aruch aner v'sefer maseh oreg. Okay, so he tells us that an irin is an irin, okay? Velo nirin. And Rashi says over here, velo nirin, and that was, sorry, irim we said, and irim we said, and pekiot, right? And not funkelin, right? Funkelin are like bobbins, you know? If you look at funkelin, Rashi says triumph. So look at triumph there, Rashi says they're triumph. Perush chutei ha'erev, right? Like basically like these bobbins on the one hand, and then below shiure pekiot, right? And shiure pekiot are like these balls of wool. Like, you know, when you weave, you put that, you know, you buy the wool in big balls, like the strip rows of wool. If they're in there, they're left over, right? Look at Rashi Funklin, she'osin the yiriot anergot umad ve'enosin lu kaneket rechagari. Okay? So all these sorts of things that are left over from the process, you can't take. Aval lokhin mehen beged menumar erev ushti tavoy va'arik. But you can buy from a guy a beged menumar. Now, we saw menumar yesterday with regards to animals, which said talu, remember? The whole idea here, beged menumar, klomar, afilu menumar, but tzvaim harbe. It's got plenty of colors, a garment that's full of different colors. Now, when it says menumar, it's made up of all these multi-colors. So it's obvious where all the colors coming from. From every other garment he made, he stole a bit of it from each one. That's why it's a mishmash of colors, right? You know, that's where they created the patched leather. You know, patched leather became very big in the late 80s or 90s. Patch leather, you know, like not pieces of leather, but like patches of leather sewed together, all the different colors, all the offcuts of the leather. Right, klaim, right? Mm. So there you have a svara maybe that was actually stolen. That's all these little pieces. That's the idea here. But, right, you know, you go around the bar, why not? And why can you use it? Okay, we understand why, right? Because even if he did, look at the kanin of a shinui, because they did a shinui, they were cornered, right? So therefore it was theirs. Or change it, right. So the Gemara says, now Amre, so we said you could buy from a garment that was made either Erev Vishti, Tavui, V'arig. So the Gemara says like this, Amre, Hashda, Tavui, Shakle, Arug, Mibai. If you can do it Tavui, right, with the, why do we need to know Arug? There are two different shittot of making it, right? What's the difference between the one? The Gemara says, now my Arig, Tichi. So the Gemara says, now, what is Arig, Tichi? Shar Sherot, Shirimesh, the Lord Tavan Kodlinokain, right? Here, he never weaved the stuff. So we might think over here that there isn't a shinui of the weaving process. Therefore, there wasn't a shinui kone. Now, even so, if you put it together, once he made the garment, that in itself is a shinui and you can buy it from him. Tarabanan enokhim in a tzava, lo otot, velo dugmot, velo tlushim shel tzemesh. Now, this guy who's a dyer, who colors stuff, right? You can't buy from him, lo otot, look at Rashi there, otot, אותות, כשמביא לו בגד לצבוע, חותך ממנו מעט לפני בעלה, when you bring him a something to dye, he cuts a small piece off, לידע אם יקלוט את הצבע, to see if it'll absorb the color. And he does a small test sample with the actual piece that you brought him, to see if it works. That over there is not his, right? You can't buy that from him. He's got to give it back to the בעלים. Right? ופעמים שמעקבו אצלו ושכחו בעלים. And sometimes he keeps it in the בעלים, forget it. Okay, that's a nice way of saying things, right? ולא דוגמות, and look at דוגמות, דוגמות, שמביאים לו בעלים צמר לצבוע, ומביא עמו מעט צמר צבוע, ואומר כזה צבע לי. And he shows him, right, this is what I want. The guy brings it, do the same for me as this. And again, they leave it behind. It's not easy, can't use it. And klushay tzemer, shetalash bin agizah tzemer ma'at ma'at. Right, what does he say? Yeah, it's ma'at ma'at. So that he wouldn't notice it. The guy slowly, slowly pulled off a few pieces when the guy came to him, right? So those things as well, all those things you can't buy from the guy because sabir laniach that it was stolen. Aval lukhin mehen beged tzavua. But you can buy from a beged that was tzavua. Right? Look at Rashi there, Memel Beged Savua. The Beged Shalem lo ganav. If it's a complete Beged, he never stole it. If he did steal it, he was made into a Beged, and therefore it was called Nebeshinoi. Right? I'm looking at Beged Savua. Then the Mishnah, the Gemara is like this. Tavui u'begadim. Right? So he says the same thing. If we said there, Tavui and Begadim, Hashta Tavui Shaki, you could buy from him things that are Tavui. Beged, you buy different things, you could buy Beged. My so says no, we need a beged. Why? Because my begadim, right? Begadim here or namte. Now we've seen this namte before. Namte, look at Rashi there. Begadim namte. He says levadin. Remember we had this before. That leved is like things that are pressed together, like felt. It's not weaved, right? It's pressed together. So we might have thought that only in the weaving process you call never b'shinui. In the pressing, you wouldn't be we see that even is the case.
Why can't you assume that the people have just given up on this and just say, you know?
Because we explained earlier on that people don't give up on these things, they're very, very valuable.
In those days, but they're not valuable in real, you know.
Are we discussing, that's what I said, you got to put your mind, I said, go into the paradigm, learning this Gemara, what halacha today would be, a different story altogether. I'm pretty sure that if you come to a tailor, to a dressmaker, and you bring her fabric, the few offcuts you don't really want, unless they're big offcuts, and you might want them to make something later. But if
it's change your tires, you don't ask for the old one back.
Correct, but this is not the case, though. We're talking about changing tires. Here we're talking about when you come to a dressmaker, to a tailor, and you've bought nice fabric on your last trip to Italy, and you want to make a suit for you, and he cuts the suit, and now he's got 5 meters of the fabric left behind. Okay, would you want it or wouldn't you want it? You probably want it. But if it was a few little square offcuts, you wouldn't care. Agreed. Agreed. So I'm saying that it would probably be different today, right? Let's try and finish. Right. Okay, so now, Tanara Hanoten Orot Adan, right? You give a guy, like a leather worker, you give him leather, right? To process. Hakitsoin Vatlushin Hare Eidu Shel Baal Habayit. Okay, so you see here, Hakitsuin, look at Rashi, right? Shemekatzea mina or savi, the parts that he cuts off around the leather, the off cuts, right? Vaklushin, right? It's semi atlush mina or, because you bring in the leather, like a hide of a sheep, it's still got all the wool on it, let's say. He then cleans off all the wool to make the leather nice for you, that wool you want, right? It's yours. Right, exactly. Right, imaya shachor, and the Mishnah said there that if he had sewn on, back to our Mishnah. No, we're not finished that Mishnah yet. But in the tanning process, you know, you soak things in the water. What comes off the leather in the water process, that is yours. You have to give it back to him. If you sewed it through the shachor, Amar Yehuda, katsara shmei. Right? What is katsara? Look at Rashi. Katsara shmei, katsara shakilei, hakoves. Right, this koves, we spoke about this dry cleaner of the case, is nikra katsari belashon arami. In Aramaic is a katsari, right? Katsara shu mekatser min habeged. Right, why is it called a katsara? Because he katser, he cuts off from the beged. Iushakilei v'dirahu. And therefore, that's his name. He cuts it off, it's his, and you can keep it. Right, that's the, I understand it. Am Rabbi Yehuda, hakol olin minyan chelet. Now, on a different halacha altogether, right, we said these remember we spoke about, we spoke about those like three little things that were at the end of a beged. Remember we said that they were his if the tailor had left. Like three chutin at the end of the beged, they're his. that he can cut them up only up to three, but not more than three. Rabbi Yehuda says on a separate subject over here, Hakol olin minyan chaylet. What does it mean, the minyan chaylet? Look at Rashi. Otan shlosha chutin. These three chutin we spoke about. Im lo katshana koves. If the koves didn't cut them off, right, and they're still part of it, now you can put tzitzit on the tray onto this beged. Olin lemidat melo kesher godel shetarich larchik et tachelet shel tzitzit misfat habeged masechet benachot. Masechet benachot, we learn, please God, that when you're making tzitzit, you're tying the tzitzit around the beged, you have to let the knot. Where's your talis? Show me your talis. Give me your talis. Right. Now I know where your Ruach HaKodesh comes from. You wear a talis to the shir. Right? This knot over here, right? This knot can't be like that. Actually, it should be, that knot should be this much away from the beged. Like that much over there, from the end of your fingernail to your knuckle. That's the measure. But not right, that's the distance it should be, like that. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. So he says that these chutin that are left on, like you can count the measure from the end of the chutin. Right? They're part of the beged, in other words. That's what he's saying. He says, but my son Yitzchak, he's machmir, right? He's particular to take them off, Rashi Sivinotlan. Okay, Hachayat Sheshier et Achut. Now the last part of the Mishnah, we must see the Mishnah here. Just quickly read the Mishnah. Hachayat Sheshier et Achut. Kedalit Forbo. Right, so this, he left you these like last few things that you could use them afterwards. Umitlit, or a little piece of patch of the fabric that was 3x3. Right, Harei Elu Shel Baal HaBayit, they belong to Baal HaBayit. Right, V'chamelit For. So now, the question here is, V'chama lit for. If you're now coming to sow, right? Hold on. How much do you toferia? Amar Rabbi Asi melo machat v'chutz lemachat. So now that was the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah says the follows: when you are leaving these strips of cotton, how much is it considered that you can use? In other words, what's the length that you have to leave so that they're worth something afterwards? So he says, Melo machat v'chutz lemachat. Right? So he says you've got to leave the length of the needle itself and more than the needle. Right? Because you know, when you sew, for example, if you've got a needle and the cotton isn't as long as the needle and you sew through, you're not really going to get far. Because if your needle comes out, by the time you're in, the cotton's already out. Right? You're going to have to pull your needle through and leave the cotton behind. Right? So you have to have a bit of cotton. Right? So he says, v'chutz lemachat, ibailu, melo machat, when we said there, melo machat v'chutz lemachat, what do we mean? Did we say, melo machat v'chutz lemachat, kemelo machat? The extra part must be as long as, in other words, double the length of the needle. Or do melo machat v'chutz lemachat mashu, or just the needle length plus a little bit. Right? Toshma, a little bright, and tanya, chayat sheshir tachut, pachot michedadit forbo. If the chayat left there less, umatlit chi pchuta mishloshal shalosh, bizman shal abayit machpira lehan, harayelu shal balabayit. Right, so we said in our Mishnah that they belong to the Baal HaBayit. But now we're going to bite and says, no, where are the Baal HaBayits? If they're less than that length, then it's only if he's makpid. Right? We understand the Mishnah if it said that when it says that he's makpid, it's when it's the length of the needle plus the length of the needle, right? And therefore, pakot mikan chazi lesi iamart bishlom emalei machat v'chutz lemachat kelo machat pakot mikan chazi lesichta. Then, if it's less than that, right? Chavi chazi lesichta. He could use. Look at Rashi lesichta. Chabin. Remember, we said earlier on that you got to tie. You can't sew more than these three chubin, right? Those like three loops. When you're tying on the loops, three things, right? So if it's less than that, at least you can use it for the sichta, after it's enough for sichta. Then what could it be used for if it's less than that? So why would he even want it, right? Therefore, it must mean that the part that you're going to leave is at least the length of two machatim. Otherwise, he wouldn't have any use for it whatsoever. It'd never be a case when the guy would want to shma mina. Okay, let's just quickly. I'm not going to finish the daf. We'll get up to the next brighter. because we'll finish that at the siyum. So all of you listening to the shir, you have to make a siyum, and we'll describe Raminu. Ma'akesh, so we're in a five year. Let's go over here.